Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. President Trump says he's ready to get back out on the campaign trail.
On behalf of myself and the First Lady, this has been really an incredible outpouring. And we're starting very, very big with our rallies and with our everything, because we cannot allow our country to become a socialist nation. We cannot let that happen.
The president speaking there to cheering supporters from a White House balcony this weekend. It was his first public event since he was hospitalized for COVID-19. He has a rally scheduled in Florida tomorrow and plans to travel to Pennsylvania and Iowa this week. The White House physician, Dr. Sean Conley, meanwhile, says the president is no longer a transmission risk to others. But in a memo released last night, Conley does not say whether the president has tested negative. To Denver now, where rival rallies ended with one man shot dead and another man hired by a local news station as a private security guard in custody. NPR's Amy Held reports on the latest incident of deadly violence and months of tense protests.
Police in Denver were out in force, bracing for potential violence, as far-right and far-left protesters converged. By mid-afternoon, demonstrations appeared to be breaking up when a Denver Post photojournalist captured a standoff, showing a far-right protester spraying mace at a man, aiming a firearm at him. Denver Police Division Chief of Investigations Joe Montoya says they're still looking into what happened.
I'm hopeful that as soon as possible we can get the factual information out as to what led to this, who the individuals involved were. We're hopeful that that information will help kind of calm the waters a little bit.
Recent months have seen tensions boiling over nationwide, with shooting deaths at protests in Portland, Oregon and Kenosha, Wisconsin. Amy Held, NPR News.
A humanitarian ceasefire between Azerbaijan and Armenia is under strain. The ceasefire went into effect yesterday, but both sides almost immediately accused one another of serious violations and crimes against civilians. Today, Azerbaijan is accusing Armenia of heavily shelling a residential area, hitting an apartment building in Ganja, Azerbaijan's second largest city. The BBC's Orla Garin is there and filed this report.
There is damage here on an absolutely massive scale and spread over a wide area. Now, in front of me, there are military troops in hard hats and rescue teams, and they've been working with their bare hands, digging frantically, trying to lift the rubble. They thought a short time ago that they had heard a voice. There were local people saying that somebody was inside, alive, in a basement and had managed to make a call asking for help, asking to be rescued. But in the last few moments, as we watched, a body was brought out.
And you're listening to NPR News. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says he's called on the state's National Guard to help in the aftermath of Hurricane Delta.
The National Guard has more than 3,000 National Guardsmen activated in support of emergency operations. They are already moving commodities to set up points of distribution. They're engaging in route clearance and engineering operations.
Edwards speaking after touring the damage Delta left behind after it made landfall Friday near where Hurricane Laura came ashore in late August. Forecasters warning that Delta's remnants could spark flooding in the mountains of northeast Georgia, the western Carolinas, and western Virginia. Devastating wildfires in California and throughout the Pacific Northwest are prompting renewed debate over prescribed burns. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports that many experts say fighting fire with controlled fire is one of the best ways to help reduce the major blazes the West has seen this year.
Intentional burns help reduce the massive amount of forest fuel built up over a century-long policy of snuffing out every forest fire. California recently boosted funding for prescribed burns, but many fire science experts and ecologists say it's not nearly enough. They warn that the state needs to radically expand the number of acres intentionally and carefully burned on public and private land in order to reduce catastrophic wildfire risk. Funding, safety, as well as bureaucratic and environmental rules are all obstacles, but there's institutional inertia as well. Critics say both CAL FIRE and the Forest Service remain extremely risk-averse and continue to embrace an antiquated fight-every-fire ethos. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, San Francisco.
This is NPR News.